Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fight Mixer. We're here with 13-2, one of the baddest mofos right now in the UFC, Freddie Mercury. I'm just kidding. Vince,
how you doing, brother? What's up, man? I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good, brother. And you and Gabe actually know each other, correct?
Yeah. Me and Gabe know each other. I actually trained at Gabe's gym for a little bit with some of the boys. I have a lot of friends that train at his gym. So, yeah, I've trained at his place for a little bit.
Yeah, it's a solid dude, man. We were sad to see him go to Colorado, but he apparently needed more marijuana in his life, so he needed to go to the fruitful fields of Colorado.
Nah, it wasn't the weed, man. It was a lot of stuff, but
just a little bit.
Yeah. The weed, the weeds are definitely a plus. Not that California's weed wasn't that good.
Anyway, so that actually leads to my first question, Vince. I didn't get a chance to talk to you prior to your departure, but you're now in Colorado. First off, what gym are you at now, and what made you move to Colorado?
I'm training now at Factory X with Mark Montoya and the team over there. What made me move was kind of a number of things. A lot of it had to do with mainly training, and I was getting kind of stale. As a fighter, I felt like I was getting kind of stale. Like, I'm still winning fights, but I feel like I wasn't really growing as a fighter, and I wasn't really learning. I was kind of the big fish everywhere I went, right? Like, with the training partners, I like helping other people and whatnot, but in my fighting career, I want to still learn. I want to still excel. So it was a big part of it. Another thing was I got sick in COVID. I got sick from COVID. It went around the gym. Everyone got sick. When I went back to the gym after COVID, no one was basically training anymore. And all the gyms I went to were very scarce. And, I can't put my life on hold because of an illness, because of a cold that's going around. You know what I mean? So that was another reason. And then, I just wasn't happy, man. Like, I've wanted to leave California for a long time, and it's my home, and I was born and raised there, and I love the place still. Right. But it's just, I don't know. I just, for a long time, I've wanted to leave, and I'm the kind of guy that needs a little different, right? Like, I need to change my scenery from time to time. So I just wanted to change the scenery. So it was just like, it was a combination of all those things that kind of pushed me out.
How's it going? How are you enjoying the transformation to Colorado life?
It's going really good, actually. I really like it out here. If I'm honest, California's what it's not far off from Colorado's not far off from California, but it's what California used to be before it got like kind of bad, I guess. I don't want to talk too much shit, but I like it out here. The weather's nice. I love the snow. I've always wanted to be in the snow. You know, we have all four seasons up here. The altitude's good to train into, so that was another plus. It was actually between my moving choices were between here and Vegas. And the reason why I chose this place was because of the training. I wanted coaching. I wanted good partners. I wanted to excel as a fighter. And not that I wouldn't have done that in Vegas or anywhere else if I would have moved. But if I would have moved to, like, Vegas, let's say, I would have been kind of training myself and just going from gym to gym and doing the same thing I was doing back home, which isn't really what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach. I wanted some stability, and I needed, like, kind of a I want a little bit more of a routine in my training, in my regiment, you know, as far as fighting goes.
But for interrupting you. I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah, you're saying about getting scale. You know, you're coming off a 2-fight win streak, and your last win was against Jim Miller. I mean, it was a unanimous decision. I think it was in August. And I'm sorry they caught COVID. Fuck COVID. It's terrible. Yeah, but COVID sucks. But about getting stale, I don't see it, man. Like, in your last two fights, your performances were immaculate. You know, you didn't show you fought great fights. I mean, and I don't, what are you seeing that we're not seeing, or what I'm not seeing as a fan?
Yeah, well, like, I don't know. How could I say this? The wins were good, right? Like, I beat Roosevelt Roberts. And then I beat Jim Miller, which Jim Miller was a, like, if I'm honest, that was a big win for me. Like, beating Jim Miller was probably like the biggest win in my career, right? But it's not that I'm not, like, that. Like I said, it's not that I'm not winning fights. It's that I'm not growing as a fighter, right? Like, I'm beating people the same way, and the way that I typically beat people is honestly I just beast through people, like. That the reason why I'm so successful in fighting is just because I'm just such a physical person, right? Like, I'm a very strong person. I can be very physical, and I'm very efficient at bullying people and wearing people out. So that's kind of what I've been doing to beat people, right? And in the beginning of my career, I was knocking people out. People weren't lasting more than 5 minutes with me. I was knocking people out. So I feel like I kind of lost a little bit of that. I've lost a little bit of that, like, of just that, like, go ahead, put a fucking wall and knock someone out. And instead, I'm using more technique and right, my wit about me to fight and finish fights. And, you know, I'm getting decisions instead of knockouts and stuff. So it's not like I said, it's not like I'm not winning fights. I'm winning fights, but I'm not winning fights in the fashion that I want to, right? Like my intent when I fight is to win a fight and make that motherfucker regret taking that fight, right? Like, when I win a fight, I want people to say, fuck, that was, like, he fucked that dude up. Like, I don't want to fight that guy, right? Like, that's my intent with every win, is to make all the other fighters regret being offered me a fucking fight, right? I want them to regret even me being offered a fight to them, is the way that I want to see it. So that's just something that I feel like I lost, and I feel like this move is going to put that back into me. And so far, it's been kind of working, right? Like, I'm around a lot of the younger guys, the hungrier guys, and it's kind of putting that hunger back in me. So far, it's working to a plan for me.
Well, so let me ask you about that. And I know your head coach, Pete, your kickboxing coach, Petey Cunningham, pretty well. I had him in my house a few times. Great, great, exceptional, legendary kickboxer. But Pete was well known for being a technician. He was known for being out pointer, and, like, you know, he beat guys that were hard punchers by out techniquing them, by out pointing them. Yeah. And I've sat with Coach Pete many, many times. He likes the technical fighters. Do you feel like that is kind of what's kind of pushed you more in your previous fights? Cause I mean, that technician versus the guy who's like, just go in there and fucking knock this dude out is going to be different. Is that kind of what you're kind of alluding to? And this is not in any way talking shit about Coach Pete, because he's a gangster as they come.
Yeah, I fully understand what you mean, and kind of honestly, yeah, you're pretty close to it. Pete is definitely a technician. The way he beat a lot of guys with his speed and his technique, right? And, like, I have technique, like. This is, like, between, like, me and Pete, when we talked about fighting and stuff, any kind of talk, Pete would always give us names, right? And we always, like, he would give us all superhero names, all the fighters, and my superhero name was Punisher. But when we talked about fighters and he gave us, like, homework and stuff like that, I'm kind of like the Marvin Hagler of the fighters, where I can go out there and brawl, but I also have technique, right? Like, you've seen it in my fights at times where I use my technique. And you've seen it where I've said fuck technique and I've had to brawl, right? But me as a fighter, I'm more of a brawler. I'm more of a just fuck it. I come forward and I come forward and I come forward, right? And I let that fight roll out like that. Where Pete has made me more of a technician. He has kind of toned me down a little bit, but yeah, it's not bad, but it does take away a little bit from my natural fighting and how I'm used to finishing fights and how I used to finish my fights.
And you're also dangerous on the ground, too, as a BJJ black belt. I mean, if you go to the ground, you're going to be in fucking quicksand because you're very competent on the ground. You're very good on specialists. So your fighters are going to be standing up with you, and you're going to go fucking gun blazing, go at your opponent and put him into a brawl and bring him to dark waters. And with that being said, and actually getting over COVID and everything like that, is there anything in the pipe down the pipeline or anything, any fighter set up yet or any fight set up yet coming down the road?
Nothing yet. I'm still just training right now and getting used to it out here. Because of COVID, I got sick with COVID in November, and then like December was rough for me, and then like January and February, that's when I was moving around looking for a place. So I'm kind of getting back in the swing of training right now from all that. But I'm looking to fight. Honestly, I want to fight twice this year if I can. I'm gonna try to fight by summer if I can, or get a fight booked by summer. But I do want to fight twice this year. I'm feeling good, healthy wise. I'm not injured. I don't have anything that's nagging me or really bothering me. So it's just a matter of me getting back in the gym, getting back into the swing of things, getting in shape, and then telling Shelby what's up, give me someone to victimize.
Who do you want to fight?
I don't know, man. Like, you know what's funny? I was talking to Alex Hernandez about this yesterday because he's up here too. And we were talking about people who want to fight, and like me as a fighter, I never really like had anyone that was like the only person who I've ever actually gone after to fight was Ally Quinta. He's the only guy that I've ever wanted to fight, and the other guy that I wanted to rematch because he beat me on the Ultimate Fighter. And when I fought Al, I was actually injured, right? And he knew I was injured, and he took advantage of it in the fight. So
why wouldn't he?
Lost, yeah. I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said, why wouldn't he? I mean, look, it's a like anytime you're fighting, if you know the guy's injured, you're gonna absolutely take advantage of that.
Oh yeah, like it's part of the game, right? Like that's just how it is. And I'd be a liar if I said I didn't do the same thing. Like if I know a guy has a knee problem or a, you know what I mean, or like a shoulder issue in a fight, I attack it, man. Like that's just the name of the game. But Al fought on the finale. He lost the KSA afterwards. I was in the back and I was talking to Al and I was like, let's get a rematch, man. Like, you know, I was injured. Like you can't, like, you know, you can't fucking beat me. So I was like, okay, I'll give you that rematch. And that wasn't like, he's been dodging me ever since, man. I've been calling him out every fight. So he's really the only one that I've ever really chased as far as like wanting to fight. But I don't really care, honestly. Like when I request fights, I tell Shelby, like, what's up? I'm looking for a fight. Who do you got? Who's looking for a fight too? And Shelby usually gives me one, two, three names, you know, one, two or three names. And then I'll say like, you know, yes, this guy, you know what I mean? Like that's usually how it goes for me. I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm looking for a fight. Who wants to fight? He's like, I got these guys. You want to fight one of these guys? Yeah, sure. I'll take this guy. See if he wants to fight. Cool. And then, you know, we get down.
It sounds like the Al fight needs to happen though. Like my personal opinion, it sounds like that Al fight needs to be taken care of.
I would still love to have that fight. I have so much to gain in that fight, and Al has so much to lose, and I think that's why he doesn't want to take the fight.
Yeah.
And he fought me once, so he kind of knows what it's going to be like, and I mean, I wouldn't want to go through that again either, honestly.
Two badasses. I mean, Al earned my respect, and I'm like, holy shit, the heart on that guy when he fought Habib, and like, oh my god, that was a crazy fight, man. That would be a crazy fight between you two, you and Al.
That was actually a really good opportunity for Al. I was rooting for Al in that fight.
Me too.
Like, as much as I want to kick his ass, like, I was rooting for him in that fight.
Why not?
Listen,
throughout my career, even those the guys that beat me and that I wanted to fight again, I always root for them because it always in a small way made me go, look at how badass this guy is. I might have lost to him, but look at how fucking good he is. You know what I mean? Like, I still want to fight him. And I listen, every single guy that I've lost to, I wanted to fight again without question. And if it were given the opportunity to even do it in the room, I would do it in the room. But I want them to win because again, we know that these dudes are bad dudes, and I want to root for them. I want them their career to be good, but I always want to get them again.
That's funny you say that. That's funny you say that because my first loss, I lost to what's his name? Rustam Khabibov.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And after I lost, right? Like I got my ass kicked. After I lost, I was like, man, fuck that guy. I hope he just gets shredded up in the UFC, right? Like I was just so spiteful over the loss. Like I don't know, that loss really hurt me too, but. And then after, like, I started thinking, and then after a while, someone said what you just said to me, and then I was like thinking, I'm like, damn, you know what? Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. And then you made me think that way, and now I lost to him and I lost to Gregor, and I'm like, fuck, I hope they do good, right? Like, even though I'm like, yeah, fuck those pussies, like, I hope they do good, because then it's like, oh yeah, I lost to that guy, but look how good he is, right? Like,
I still want to fight him again, though. Like, I'm not enough for any one second think that, like, if push comes to shove, I would fight them in a heartbeat again. Oh, but yeah, I want them to have a career. Like, look, if Al became the lightweight champion, losing to him on Ultimate Fighter would have been like, look, dude, he's the fucking lightweight champion. Yeah, I would fight him again, and yeah, I would beat him, but there's, you can't deny he's a bad motherfucker, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just hope good for them. That way it's not like let's say I lose to some guy and then he just gets fucking shredded up by some tomato cans, right? And then it's like, fuck, what? Oh my god, that hurts my self-esteem so much worse.
Exactly.
I think that would be so much more detrimental to my own self-esteem.
Without question.
What do you think about the fights going on this weekend? I mean, everyone's excited about Usman and Masvidal. Everyone's excited about crowds coming back to the UFC. What are your thoughts about the fights this weekend and how it's going to go down?
I'm actually pretty excited about the Usman and Masvidal fight. I want to see how Masvidal does with the full camp and see, you know what I mean? Because, like, if I'm honest, I felt like for a long time Masvidal was one of the most underrated fighters in the UFC, but he just had something like – we all have something. We all have our demons, right? That put us back sometimes, and I don't know what his are. But I always felt like Masvidal was one of the most underrated fighters, and the way he took that fight on the notice, right? And he did. I don't know. Just the things that I saw from him in that fight. If he has a full camp and fights that diligently, like, Usman's gonna have a hard fight on his hands, because like Masvidal lost that fight on gas, right? Like, if he had a gas tank past the third round, he would have done, like, probably better in that, a lot better in that fight. Who knows? He might even been able to win if he had a gas tank.
Stopping that fucking takedown, though, that's going to be the key maker. Being able to stop one of Usman's main weapons.
Getting back up too. Like, Masvidal's really good at takedown defense, but he's really good at getting back up too. Like, he's actually, his defensive grappling is actually really good. He's, like I said, like, to me, he's one of the most underrated guys in the UFC that people kind of looked over for a long time, right? Because he's had some losses that he shouldn't have probably lost. But I think he's going to do really good. But I don't know. I think Usman's still probably going to win. But I'm still excited to see how Masvidal does. And then I'm also excited to see Anthony fight, because now he's a teammate, right? So it puts a little bit of – it hits a little closer to home now when I watch Anthony fight, you know what I mean? As
who is it?
The day before.
Who's your teammate? I'm not sure.
Oh, Anthony Smith. So he's fighting Jimmy Crute. I think his name's Jimmy Crute.
Oh, yeah. So who else is over there? Who else over there is at Factory X?
So they got, you got me, Alex Hernandez. You got Chris Gutierrez. Who else is there? Luigi. I don't remember his last name. It's like hard to say. Brazilian guy, Luigi. Who else is there? Jeez, there's guys I don't even know their names there. I know his Instagram's like King Mofo or something, I think. Younger kid, black kid. He's really good, though. He's there, too. There's a few guys. James Krause trains there. Patrick Cummings trains there, but he's retired now, I think. They have a lot of low-ranked guys there, too, that are just – like very underrated, that people don't know about, but are very good. Like, they have a lot of really good wrestlers there, some Olympic alternate wrestlers there, a lot of good strikers. But I'm still getting to know the full team, but I just know the majority of the guys that who I've seen with, you know what I mean, on the fight cards and UFC, and then I've also trained with so far. So, but like I said, I've only been in for like a month, but I'm still learning the guys and learning everything.
But what do you think about the entire situation happening with the UFC lightweight division, especially with Khabib retiring? How do you think it plays out? Do you think that they're going to make Conor's next fight? Do you think they're going to put the title on that, or how do you think it's going to play out in the lightweight division? How do you think you work yourself out as a whole?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't feel like Mike Chandler should be fighting Oliveira. Mike Chandler, I mean, he's a Bellator guy, right? The ex-Bellator champ. He's a good fighter, but I don't think he deserves a title shot off of just beating my Hooker. I think Oliveira should be fighting someone else, like probably Gaethje or even, like, I don't know. I want to say Ferguson, but he already beat Ferguson too, right? Like, I don't even know who else would be at the top, but I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like Conor McGregor is tarnished now. Like, the only way he's ever going to get his steam back is if he beats Khabib, and that's not going to happen, right? Like, that boat sailed for him. So, I don't know. I feel like he's just going to kind of do a couple fights until he fizzles out, and, you know what I mean? He can no longer be the attraction that he was. But I'm not sure, man. Like, it's pretty wide open right now. There's a lot of dangerous guys at the top 10, and I'm gonna slowly creep my way up there and fucking, you know what I mean, kick in some fucking doors. But there's just no space and opportunity right now, and I don't really know what's gonna happen with the lightweight division. I think a very dangerous threat right now is gonna be Gaethje's always gonna be a threat. Oliveira's a threat right now. Tony Ferguson's always still a threat. I feel like people are counting him out, even though he's like, he's had one of the longest win streaks in the lightweight division, right? Like, I think he's had, what, 12 or 13 fights and hasn't had a title shot, which to me is it's kind of absurd, honestly. Like, I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, if I'm honest, I don't like Tony Ferguson, but I feel kind of bad for the guy. Like, he definitely deserved a title shot, but shit just didn't go his way. But I don't know, man. It's pretty wide open. I'm just kind of excited to see how Oliveira and Chandler plays out and see how we go from there. Because I think that's going to play a pivotal role in as far as opponents, right? Like, as far as the guys who are going to want to attack it right away. I feel like more guys are going to want to attack it if it's Chandler as opposed to Oliveira, right, if Oliveira wins. I feel like Oliveira is more of a dangerous guy than Chandler is right now in the lightweight division.
I mean, I agree with you about Chandler not, like, kind of jumping in there. Immediately he was the Bellator champion, but he feeds Dan Hooker, where I believe was coming off of a loss anyways.
Yeah.
And Hooker's good, but he's I'm a bit more of a fan, but I don't see him as like even a top five threat. You know, I think there are guys that in the lower ranks that could beat Hooker. For Chandler to beat Hooker and then immediately to jump in with Oliveira, who genuinely deserves that, especially with the win streak he's got. I don't think it was right, but I also understand when you have someone who's a champion from another organization, they're going to try to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, and I think so too, but I thought Mike Chandler just lost to a pit bull, didn't he, in Bellator? Didn't he just come off a loss too before he fought Hooker?
No, he beat the older brother, pit bull.
Oh, I think. Okay.
There's two brother. I think they're both pit bulls. There's a 55er and a 45er. The 45er merged everybody. I could be completely wrong. I don't know. You're talking the wrong guy, dude. I don't know shit about sports. Ask Dave.
Yeah,
Dave
knows. I'm a shit fan too, bro. But I do know there's two of them. But I thought that because I thought he was talking shit once Chandler got in the UFC, and then didn't he put out some tweet like, "Oh, you're gonna fucking take this guy who I just starched, but you won't take me," right? Like, I thought he was talking some shit like that because Chandler
very got possible
and he didn't.
I think he got beat by like that. I know he got. Well, I don't know. But I think he got beat by one of the Pitbull brothers. Now I got to go on Google and figure that out.
Yeah, he definitely did lose one. But like I totally agree. Like Hooker is a good guy, and he's one of those guys that's breaking into the top 10. But not a guy that you beat and then you get a title shot, right? Especially if it's your first fight in the UFC.
Chandler looks like a bat out of hell, especially with his last fight and his UFC debut. And usually people, spit lights are blazing when they first get into the UFC, but there was none of that from Chandler. He looked like a natural. He went in there and went guns blazing and took home the W. And you're right, Tony Ferguson's always going to be in the hunt. Gaethje is always fucking dangerous. And how do you see yourself matching up with those guys where, you know, those are the threats? Those are the threats of the division. Like, how do you see yourself matching up with those threats that we just brought up? Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, Chandler, all those guys.
I think I match well with those guys. I've actually trained with Chandler too down at Alliance and stuff. But like, I think I can match well against those guys, and I could beat any of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, I have all the confidence in myself that I could beat those guys. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't. Yeah, like I said, it's just, I don't know, like, the way I see it is those guys definitely, they're tough guys, right? But I'm not gonna, I'm not the kind of guy that's gonna be like, oh yeah, they're tough, and I'm maybe I just won't take that fight. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna be like I'm the kind of guy where my coach says, okay, we're fighting a wrestler, don't wrestle this guy. I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna wrestle that fucking guy. Like I'm that kind of guy, right? Like I do that kind of shit. So I would gladly take in those fights, but I think I match well against anyone, and I think I could beat any of those guys, especially the top 10 guys. I'm just being I don't know. I just had a lot of I feel like I've just had a string of just bad life situations that kind of helped me back a little bit. But hopefully that's all behind me, and so far it has been. So I'm kind of just looking forward right now and hoping I get my chance.
Good shit.
Good shit, man. Oh my god. So everyone's talking about the fucking Jake Paul and Ben Askren. I don't know why everyone's got to get me angry and upset about this, but what are your thoughts?
Why was it Ben Askren? Why did people decide that Ben Askren was like the face of MMA? Like, I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you a couple things there, Vince.
We sent an amateur to beat an amateur, right?
Okay, first off, Ben is really good at talking, right? Yeah. And that's really what Jake Paul, that's his thing, is his shtick is talking. So we can concede, I'll concede that Ben's striking is atrocious, but he can talk up a fight like nobody's business. And
I did like his little face push at the weigh-ins. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. He's funny. I think Ben Askren, like, he's a very likable person.
That was some boss shit right there.
I like that.
But I 100% agree. But Jake Paul does not want to fight a real fighter. You know that. I know that. Ben Askren was the perfect pick for the MMA world. Like, oh, is he going to wrestle Ben Askren? No, he's not going to wrestle Ben Askren. Like, he's not going to fight him in MMA. He's going to fight him in boxing, which is the one thing Ben Askren is absolutely the worst at.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like, I think Jake Paul would go into a fucking time machine, travel back to 1996 and fight Muhammad Ali just so he can say he fought a reputable boxer, you know? Like, he's that much of a fucking scumbag. And, like, it just blows my fucking mind. Like, you know, he fought... Like, and plus the excuse, too, that, oh, Jake Paul only won because Ben Askren's not a boxer. Jake Paul isn't a fucking boxer. So, like, it's fucking mind-blowing. Look at his choices. Conor McGregor, who is 30 pounds less than him. Ben Askren, who primarily used, like, striking as a smokescreen instead of takedowns a majority of his career. And Dillon Danielson is coming off injury and primarily trained in jiu-jitsu. It's fucking mind-blowing. The fact that everyone is giving this guy fucking some kind of clout and some type of reputability. Like, Daniel Cormier picking a fight with him. What was going on here? Why are we giving this guy attention? What's going on for him? I have no idea.
It's just embarrassing. Like,
but we're talking about him.
Exactly. Like, right. He's succeeding, right? Because people are talking about him. People are doing what he's doing. But in all honesty, like Jake Paul's not a boxer. Ben Askren's not a boxer. But if I were to pick a guy to train as a boxer, I'd pick Jake Paul well over Ben Askren any day. And that's with Ben Askren's skills that he has now, right? Like, if I were to pick him now, knowing, like, what they're good at, and let's say we were starting scratch, I would still go for Jake Paul just because Ben Askren couldn't knock out a six-year-old if he threw a fucking punch, right? Like, I don't know. That it was totally the perfect fight for Jake Paul. Like, between the basketball player and then him, like, those are the perfect fights. And what's going to happen with Jake Paul has to fight someone like Tyson Fury's brother, who he's been calling out, right? Like, when he has to fight a legit boxer, he's going to get his fucking shit pushed all in, dude.
Hey, he's going to make money no matter what. And listen, all things said, Ben Askren walked away with $500K guaranteed and then guaranteed a portion of the pay-per-view buys. So when it's all said and done, Ben Askren doesn't give a shit.
He made a couple mil. That's why he's walking
away. Actually,
that's why he's walking with that big ass fucking shitting grin after he left. But see, I wonder.
And actually, Ben Askren actually did an interview and he said that he did not get.
Say that again?
No. I think Matt asked if Ben Askren really needs the money. And, you know, I think anyone can use the money, but he wasn't guaranteed pay-per-view buys. It was strict $500,000 flat. But, of course, Jake Paul would pick out fucking Ben Askren coming off a hip injury, and Dylan Gans was injured. And, you know, he's got to fight a fucking boxer. You're absolutely right. Or fight you and get fucking murdered. But, like, you know, fight into a cage if he wants to fight UFC fighters, you know? Fight a boxer if you want to be a fucking boxer. Or at least pretend you're a boxer. At least that's my opinion, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's, like, I just think it's absurd that people are being like, oh, he beat an elite MMA fighter, like, in boxing. But, like, no, you beat an elite grappler at a boxing match is what you did. Like, you knocked out a grappler. But, I don't know. Like, as soon as he fights a real fighter, like, the cloud's gonna shit on him. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun, right? Like, I didn't pay the money for the pay-per-view, but I went to a friend's house and watched it, right? I still enjoyed it just the same. I put up my ha-ha tweet when I saw fucking Ben's feet come off the ground when he got knocked out.
The highlight of the night, though, was seeing Oscar De La Hoya railed out doing more rails than fucking Tony Hawk, and they put him on camera. Greatest thing ever.
They should have never pulled it from the camera. He was my favorite part of the whole show. He was my favorite part. I could not believe the shit he was talking during Frank Mir's fight about that former champ boxer. Like, he was talking some shit. Like, and I'm pretty sure the guy fighting heard him, because I'm pretty sure he looked at him and was like about to come out there and fight him, dude. Like, oh my God, what a shit show. I can't believe that was televised. Like, who at the network let these fuckers be on TV? Like, who let that show go? That, like, that's crazy to me. The world is crazy to me right now.
Davidson, oh my God, Pete Davidson just shit all over the entire event. Like, you see at the beginning where it just literally took a shit on the entire event.
Yeah, you can tell the quality of this event by them having me here.
Gabe, did you see it? Gabe, Pete literally shit on both.
I did like his little back and forth with Ben Askren, though, when he was like, kind of, Ben Askren was talking shit about him talking shit. Like, that was kind of funny.
I missed all of that. I don't watch, like, for me to watch a fight in general, it takes something, I don't know, above and beyond, because I'm usually like family time on Saturday night. But I'm not about to sit through that shit show, but now I want to see it after the fact. I saw the knockout. I saw like the 15 seconds of the knockout. And to be honest, going by boxing rules, they probably should have let him have a 10 count, realistically. But
he got back up. The referee shouldn't have stopped it, because like he gets a standing 8 count and the referee says, okay, we're clear to fight. And then they're clear to fight. And then the referee's all of a sudden like, hold on a second, walk towards me. Ben walks to him and then he calls the fight. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened in that last little bit. Why? I don't know if Ben played it off like he was hurt worse than he was, or if the referee was just like, this guy's done, right? Or what? Or if he was actually that hurt, but I don't know. Who knows?
Well, either way, but I didn't see, but now I need to go back and watch it just for the entertainment factor. All I'm hearing about after the fact, it sounds like it was entertaining. So I'll probably have to check it at some point.
Yeah, okay, so you gotta watch the Frank Mir fight with De La Hoya, and even I think the fight before that too with De La Hoya, like it was, I don't know, man. He's probably gonna watch it back and just feel so embarrassed for himself. But I thought it was really funny. I enjoyed it, because we've all had those moments where we're just like, we've had too many drinks, right? We just fucking say shit. But it was just so fucking funny.
There was literally an hour worth of twerking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, and then making fun of Bieber's little dance moves, Bieber's like show. I don't even know how much they paid that kid to be there, but I don't know, man. Like, it makes me wonder. Like, what was the mafia involved? Because like, there seemed to be a lot of money thrown around at this event for like how unprofessional it was. Honestly, like, I hate to talk shit about it, but
personally, you know what?
Don't say you hate to talk shit. That you're fucking lying. You, of course, you appreciate talking shit, and justifiably so. You should talk shit. If it's garbage, it's garbage. Don't say you hate talking shit. No, you should revel in it. When call shit shit, that's what we need to do. We need more of that. We need to call shit shit.
No, like, it was garbage.
Personally, it was
that kind of shit that you just couldn't look away from, man. And like, I don't know if that's what the future is for TV. Like, I'm not in support of that.
It was a train wreck.
Do you think in your opinion, and both of you guys, obviously you guys fought in the UFC and from hell actually still fights in the UFC, and like, so do you think the fight game is evolving, or the crowd and the audience are getting dumber? Because boxing has prestige. It always has prestige. Like, you know, Muhammad Ali and fucking Joe Frazier and George Foreman and all these, like, boxing, from HBO Boxing to Showtime Boxing, boxing has this level of prestige. And you have Triller, who I have no idea how they're going to make fucking money, considering their target demographic illegally streams everything and wants everything for free anyway. So how the fuck are they going to make money? That's number one, but neither here or there. But, like, do you think the fight fans and the fight demographic are getting dumber? Or, you know, the game is evolving and it's going to get to this point where you got to talk shit to sell fight. You got to have fucking Justin Bieber and all these girls twerking and their parents want to put a fucking gun in their mouth. Like, what's your personal assessment
of it? Well, I think that showed it was just an entertainment factor, right? That's just how they wanted. That's just how they saw it, right? And they want to do it, which, like I said, it was a complete shit show, but it was entertaining. Like, I enjoyed watching it. As much as a shit show as it was, I enjoyed watching it. It had its moments where I was fucking loving it. But as far as, like, the MMA is always evolving. It's constantly evolving. And you, like, you could definitely see a difference from early UFC days to now, right? Like, you see a huge difference. But I wouldn't say that the crowd's getting dumber to MMA. I would just say that MMA, like any other art or profession, is something that you could only appreciate it so much unless you're involved in it, right? So as a spectator, your knowledge is going to grow, like, as fighters, right? And as the sport grow, like, fighters and fans, the knowledge was kind of doing this, right? Like, because we learned from each other. And as the fighters knew, we'd do stuff, then the fans would be like, oh, he's doing this now. So then they knew, right? So that's how the information went. But eventually what's going to happen is you become to this point where, and this goes for anything, whether it's baseball, football, any sport, any profession, you know what I mean, doing taxes, accounting, anything. Where when you're a professional in that area, your knowledge is going to start to supersede everyone else. And unless they're in that profession and they're with their in the trenches, that gap of knowledge is always going to be there. And that's going to go for anything in life, any profession in life, whether it's sports or fucking, you know what I mean, being a teacher to being a fireman or anything, right? Like, everyone has this common knowledge about everything in life, but unless you're in the actual profession, your knowledge is only going to be capped at so far, and the professionals are going to have that extra bit of knowledge. So I think that's what we're seeing right now is a lot of fighters are having such an immense amount of knowledge now as far as fighting goes that the fans aren't able to keep up with it because they're not actually in the world. They don't train themselves, and they're not, how can I say this? It's not like being presented to them on the daily basis like it is with fighters. So I think that's just what you're seeing. It's not that fans are getting dumb. They're kind of just being left behind because it's a profession that you have to be a part of.
I'm agreeing with Vince on one end, but on the other end, I remember. So using this gauge, right? I think what has happened is as MMA has become more and more mainstream, there's more and more and more and more and more and more dumb fans. So when we started, we had your casuals that were training, and they're like, those are the ones that are going to be there die hard no matter what happens. And then you're going to have the idiots that are like, oh, I'll punch my brother Bubba in the face, and he did the same thing. And so now the guy who was like, I'll punch my brother Bubba, got Bubba and Bubba's cousins, and all of them are so it's this massive growth of idiots. And that's where I see and I listen, there are a lot of amazing MMA fans, but they're also it's just like every other sport. Go watch a football game in a sports bar. You'll have 5 or 50 people that know how to play better than the athletes themselves. If only they were in there, their team would win the Super Bowl because they know better than everybody, but they don't know shit. And that's the commonality when we have this growth of the sport, this massive growth. But unfortunately, with growth comes more and more idiots that get involved, and not even involved in it, just are more fans.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. I could, that's definitely a factor.
That's my feeling. That's my feeling. I could be wrong, but that's from what I garner whenever I go, which is it's thankfully a rarity now. But if I go out to watch a fight, it's just there's more idiots that are screaming, Are you trying to fight? Are you trying to fuck? Get off the ground. Like, dude, shut up. Just shut up. Like,
yeah, no, no, you're right. You're right. Cause I do see those and deal with that a lot too. And I've been to events where I do see and hear that more and more. But it's definitely a factor.
But I will say there are more people training now, and because there are more people training, there are people that are more knowledgeable. But there's also, because of the mainstream, there's way more idiots.
That's true. Cool. And you know what? I always say too, like I feel like every person, whether you want to be a fighter or not, I don't care what you do in life. I feel like everyone should experience some sort of physical activity that's competitive, right? That kind of threatens them a little bit, because it kind of challenges people, and that's a good amount of growth for people. That challenge is good for people. But I feel like that. But then again, I think about that, then what you just said. What if all the idiots just jump in, right? Like, I don't want to get hit by some fucking dumb shit that is just like there to fuck shit up, right? Like some guy who's just never gonna give a fuck. He's just there to fuck, right? He's just there to fuck shit up.
So we're heading towards the time where we have to wrap this up like a Christmas present. So, you know, 13-2, bad motherfucker, a threat, always gonna be a threat in the lightweight division. So what does the future hold? You know, what does the future hold for you? What do you got going on? What's going to be the game plan moving forward? What's your goals before you wrap it up, call it a day? What are your goals before you you wrap up those gloves and consider it a career?
You know, I never really thought about that much. But as like I am like getting older, and people are now asking me because of my age and when I'm going to quit fighting and whatnot, I think my goals is to that's a lie. I did have a goal. My goal was always to either be champion or strike fear in everyone, you know, strike fear in enough people that I kind of didn't really, I had trouble getting fights like I was early in my career. But now I think what I want to do is just kind of stack some cash and just kind of I want to be able to enjoy my life when I'm done fighting, right? Like, I don't want to have to work hard after I'm done working hard. And so I guess my goal now would be to basically just save up enough cash to just go buy a house, right? Just go buy my house, have my little plot of land, and just kind of maybe train up-and-comer fighters and keep myself in the gym or just do something that I don't really need to stress. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to just relax the rest of my life. Like, I've had a pretty rough and tough first part of my life. So like, I don't want the last half of it to be like the first half. So I'm basically just stacking my chips right now. My goal is my simple goal is to buy a house, own a house, outright, not have to have a payment, and be able to just chill after fighting and kind of have some time to think about what I really want to do, because I do want to stay in fighting. And I think if fighting wasn't in my life in some aspect, I'd probably go fucking nuts and go back to beating the shit out of people on the streets, right, before I was fighting. So I don't really want to do that. That's probably frowned upon now these days. So I don't know. I want to just be able to relax and have a good life, right? I want to enjoy myself. I want to pass on some of my knowledge to the fighters. I just want to be satisfied with myself when I'm done, you know? Like, above all else, I want to be satisfied and I'll be happy with what I've done and I've accomplished.
Cool. Awesome, man. So, obviously, Gabe, do you have any final thoughts? Obviously, this is your buddy. Any final thoughts from Gabe?
Now, are you happy overall? Right now, are you happy in this current point in your life?
I am happy. If I'm honest, I wasn't for a little bit, and I was kind of being dragged a little bit through the mud emotionally with my life. But I'm getting there, and things are happier for me, and I am doing a lot better. So I can say that I am happy. I'm getting happy. Yes.
Good. That's what it really comes down to, my man. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. It's rare people ask that question, right? Like, that's a question people don't really ask people too often.
Well, I get it. Like, look, like, so awesome. I'll tell you, like, I've been doing this podcast for a while, and it's a lot of fighting questions. I don't know. Sometimes we got to ask questions that are a little bit outside the realm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's the idea that everyone's going to ask me the same fucking bullshit questions. I've been asked so many Without question, I've done so many podcasts and interviews. I would say that there's always 6 or 7 questions that I'm always going to get.
Yeah.
Look, we got to change it up a little bit. Mix it up a little bit, you know?
You know how it is. You know how it is.
All I do.
All right, brother, where can we follow you? Where can we follow your career as it progresses? Where on Instagram, Facebook? Where can we follow you, man?
All my social media is the same. I keep it simple, From Help Michelle. Should be the only one manifier around the social media atmospheres. So you find me there, From Help Michelle, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all my stuff, right? I also have a Twitch channel that I stream sometimes. Same thing, From Help Michelle. But find me on there. Also, I'm on the UFC website. I have a little profile there, which is pretty cool. I just noticed that was actually on there. I thought that was kind of cool. They never used to do that. So.
I mean, who goes on a UFC website? I mean, come on.
I know. They get some traffic. I'm sure they get some traffic.
From Help Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an honor to talk to you. I can't wait to see your next win and when you come back to the game and beat the Max. I can't wait to see you fight again. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to see you, Gabe. Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Always great seeing you, Vince. Take care, brother.
All right. Bye, guys. Peace.
Peace out. From Help Michelle, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's a badass motherfucker, and you actually train with him at your gym. Tough dude.
Yeah, tough dude. He's a tough dude. I when he was going to move out of California, I was unfortunate because he was always great when he came in the room. As a matter of fact, we had this 205er that just a prick. This amateur 205er that would train with everybody the same. And the last time Vince came in, him and Vince basically were about to go to war. And I had to jump in and I kicked that guy out of my gym because he tried to fight 3 of my fighters, all smaller guys than him. I mean, again, like he's a 205, he's a big dude, but that was the last time I trained with Vince. And it was always unfortunate because our last training session together ended on a bad note because of this prick who incidentally had 1 pro fight, lost, and then gone. What a surprise.
Of course he did. Yep. Oh my God. You're speaking about your fucking gym. I mean, having From Hell Pichel and you, 2 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts, that's like sharp and festive warriors in one class. But where can we go to train with 4-time, thank you for correcting me, 4-time world champion and former UFC vet, Mr. Gabe? Where can we find and go train with you, sir?
Well, actually, I'm glad that you asked that, David. If you go to kaiju-mma.com in the beautiful Tarzana, California area, you'll find Kaiju MMA and Fitness, my facility, where we train from beginner to professional level.
Really? Holy shit. And Gabe trained with
you. Yeah.
And we get to train with Gabe too? It just went from 6 to midnight, my friend. Wow. Everyone go on that website.
I'm there every day, every single day. I'm the head instructor as well as the owner. I'm not only the president, Matt, but I'm also a client.
You're also a client too. And Matt, what's that delicious beverage that people can take? The next best thing to steroids without getting busted for it. Oh, what's that in your hand, Matt? I can't see.
That is Dringer.
Is that Dringer protein? Oh wow.
Since I've been taking Dringer, my wife has made me get 2 drug tests a week. Because of the stamina and the strength that I've now gotten from taking Dringer.
How many times did you test positive for awesome, Gabe, when you take Dringer?
Exactly once.
And Matt, where can you buy such a delicious protein beverage, Matt?
Well, you would go to dringernutrition.com. It's a Dringer without an E.
Hmm.
Right. Gotcha.
It's a Nordic
word. And do you have any stuff to make Jake Paul's dick bigger? Because obviously he needs some help with that vagina. So do you have any supplements for him?
He might try the testosterone boosters.
Yeah, probably. He should.
It is good.
Fucking piece of shit. So are you the UFC 261 this weekend. We're going to be going live. We're going to have a watch party. We had 4,800 views or viewers last weekend for that piece of shit fight. So we're hoping that we can watch some legitimate fights and talk about this weekend. So,
I would like to, but this is – I have my daughter, and that means I'll probably be watching Frozen 2 for, like, the 30th time.
Perfect.
But if I can get away, I absolutely will. What do we got here?
I need that shit.
Connor McKenna needs that shit.
Connor needs that shit.
That's a bad motherfucker.
Get that shit, also, Connor.
Gabe will also be live streaming, and we're going to have a watch party for Frozen 2. To alternate with UFC 261. If you want to hear Gabe's comments and his self-loathing while he watches Frozen 2, please join me.
I'll do my very best. If I can make it on, I will absolutely make it on.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So we're going to wrap up the show. Like Christmas present, join us every Wednesday and Thursday. We're still number 11. It sucks. So please, please watch
us. Let's go to 10.
I mean, we're being the New York Jets channel, which is fucking awesome, but, you know, you got to help us out here. Let's download that. Go on Amazon. Watch our show on Amazon, Roku, Apple TV. See Gabe's awesome face every single week, every single Thursday, and also watch the ladies' show on Wednesdays. So, boys and girls, all my bros and hoes in different area codes with swollen lip nodes, thank you very much for joining us for this edition of the Fight Mixer. Thank you from Hell Pershell for coming on the show, from Matt, Gabe, and myself, signing off from the Fight Mixer. Peace.
Bye, everyone. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.